Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Knowledgeable.
Listen, here's what's wrong with your hypothesis, your theorem, your supposition, your postulate.
Honest.
If that front ain't in gangsta, your back end won't be able to show its full potential.
Understanding.
You're going to suck. You're going to suck for the next couple of years.
Passionate.
I'm all over social media. I live it.
This is the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Hashtag facts.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Now, here's Kevin.
Let's go back to this play. Watch one of the coaches for Brooklyn, that's David Vanderpool, actually touch the ball, which is not allowed.
You asked me if he may have touched it. There's no may have. He did. My reaction was utter disbelief. I've never seen in my very long time in basketball something happen like that that the referees didn't see. Nobody's perfect and the mistakes will be made. I get that. But I think in a game like this, with the bench conduct being a point of emphasis this year, that it's very hard to swallow them missing something like that for me. I do understand that regardless, there's tons of things we could have done better in the game and it should have never came down to us complaining about something like that. But I will say that, you know, this is the best league in the world. They have to be better than that. And nothing against that referee, quite frankly. I think he's a good referee and a really good person. I was just kind of in disbelief. Like I said, I've never seen nothing like that ever. And to be standing there as a head coach to try to deal with it at the time was kind of like, oh my gosh, did I really just see that?
Morning. Welcome in the Kevin Sheehan Show. Minus Kevin today. Scott Jackson here with you. That was Joseph Blair, the second interim coach of your Washington Wizards. He's never seen anything like that, folks. And keep in mind, he played for the Harlem Globetrotters. You can't tell me the Generals didn't get screwed by the refs once or twice in something more audacious than that. I mean, come on. I mean, they had guys that go in the crowd. They dress up like refs. They throw confetti on you. I mean, come on. He'd seen something crazier than that, but maybe not. But nonetheless, that was part of the Wizards' loss last night to the Nets by the final of 119 to 118. Kevin today is off. He'll be back with you tomorrow. Look. They do this. There's big storms, or the potential for big storms. They call in the heavy hitters, as you guys know, listening to this program for many, many years. Kevin is a self-proclaimed meteorologist, and he gets pulled in, you know, the big think tank, you know, what to do with the school systems. And clearly, Kevin's got some angry moms today who are going to miss yoga class because he blew the forecast. I mean, it's raining outside. Brendan Dar tells me, nothing, right? Just rain? Is that it? That's all we got here? You went into two states and it's all you saw was rain? You didn't see any snow? No ice?
All I saw was rain. However, I was informed that the rain would be going until about 7:30, 8 o'clock, and then we'd see heavy snow from 8 to 10.
Okay. All right. We're going to hold
we'll
Kevin
see,
and
we'll
his
see
colleagues.
If the forecast is true.
Yeah, we're going to hold Kevin and his colleagues to that forecast. And again, if not, you know, send the hate mail to add Kevin Sheehan DC on the Twitter. Because, again, he's part of this think tank of groups that decide. They really influence the school systems and what have you. You know, it's interesting. I find it a lot of times, and I'm a big Doug Kammer fan. I know Doug. And he'll often, like, tell you ahead of time what he thinks the schools will do, and they always follow through on what he says. It's fascinating. We never had an advocate like that when I grew up in this area. Like, Gordon Barnes, Bob Ryan. They weren't telling the school systems what to do. They were just putting the forecast out the table. I mean, these guys are influencers now, and Sheehan's part of that group. So anyway, let's get to the Wizards. So they lost last night, and I know, had you caught, you know, some of this in the post game, they went over this Blair, this, you know, Joseph Blair got his piece on it. The second interim head coach, thanks to COVID, no Wes Unsell Jr. again last night. David Vanderpool, Silver Springs own Montgomery Blair High School, you know, 22 games as a Wizard. I'm not afraid to admit I covered did the postgame show. You know, Lee and Maurice, my two callers each night, know who I'm talking about. the 19-63 Wizards, David Vanderpool was on Leonard Hamilton's squad for 22 games. I think it was 210 days, and they picked him up for the rest of the season or something like that. Anyway, yeah, he definitely touched the ball. I mean, clearly he thought the ball was going out of bounds. I don't think he did that for the hell of it or just to be a jerk with 5.5 to go or 5:45 to go, thinking it was going to be a key part of the game. But, you know, it's a one-point game, so it looks really big. But, look, if you watch this game from the jump, you know, the Wizards came out with the – you know, the NBA Las Vegas Summer League approached the defense in the first half. And actually, that's insulting to the Summer League guys who are actually, hoping to God to play in the NBA someday. All right, we'll go like Urban Coalition level of defense last night and one tape level of defense. How about that? You know, in the first half. So despite what you may have heard, if you didn't watch the first half and you just, moral victory night. Yay, moral victory. Kevin Durant, kind of a significant player. He wasn't there. He wasn't there. He didn't play last night. He wasn't on the floor. And you got Kyrie part-time Irving lighting you up. I mean, by the way, I thought this was bonkers when I first heard about it, but witnessing the way he plays, even part-time, okay. Fine. All right, you got me. It works. Greatest, and I mean the greatest Players Association in the history of Players Associations, NBA Players Association. Dude's getting full salary, even when he wasn't playing. I mean, you know, ask John Wall how good it is. I mean, he's not going to play. Why would you? I mean, you can't give away that kind of coin. But, you know, Kyrie Irving playing just road games. And again, they were a great road team prior to him becoming a road-only player. And it is weird. I get it. Their home record is only one game above 500, but they're 16-5 away from home. Now, here's the problem. If they actually were to, like, say, win the East, right, let's just play this out and go to the finals and play, I don't know, the Warriors, he wouldn't be able to play in any of the games. Assuming, you know, the world is the same, you know, in June as it is today, which hopefully, please, let it not be. But anyway, this, you know, Kyrie Irving still got it, even playing part-time, you know. I know everybody hates James Harden's game outside of the James Harden, you know, mafia, but he's savvy. He was not great last night. He had a lot of turnovers. Didn't make a three-pointer, right? And they were still cooking. They were still cooking, despite all that, talking about the Nets, because the Wizards came out with the worst approach to defense, you know, I've seen them in quite some time. 74 first-half points to the Nets. Hey, they played better in the second half, but you saw the toll it took. I mean, Bradley Beal was gassed. You know, everybody seemed to be tired. They did a hell of a job to cut it after being down by 16 to get that last second opportunity. Kuzma misses one, then Dinwiddie misses one. I would just love to see one game in the next, I don't know, 2 to 3 weeks where Dinwiddie and Beal both are getting it going offensively. We just haven't seen it. It's been frustrating at times to watch, but nonetheless, I like the team. I like the makeup of it. They played too many players last night. And I get it. You got, you know, again, your second interim coach. 11 guys in an NBA rotation is not, that doesn't work. I mean, unless you're winning by 20, you know, unless you're killing somebody. I just don't see how that works. And Bertans, you know, despite the fact that they are in desperate need of somebody to knock down a three-pointer on a consistent basis, he seems to be the odd guy out here. And it's weird because you're saying, well, wait a minute. You know, they got a trade deadline coming up. Why don't you just move Bertans? Well, his value could not be any sorrier than it is right now. So, outside of being injured. So, the trade deadline's a 10th. I really don't think you can do anything about it. So, you kind of are in this weird place right now where you got to suck it up and keep them. But they finished last night with a interesting combo. You know, the starting guards of Dinwiddie and Beal, not shocking there. And they had Kuzma, KCP, they're like, okay, that's the starters. No, but then They have Harrell. Harrell is the finisher, you know, as your closer. Daniel Gafford played 12 minutes last night. He had 8 points and 3 rebounds, but played just 12 minutes. You know, there's been some interesting things that have happened over the last week with this team. Of course, there was one game where Denny Avdija played 3 minutes. You know, he was back, you know, in a normal rotation last night. He played almost 23 minutes in the game. Actually, he was really good, too. He was part of the bench that helped them chop away this lead. You know, Rui Hachimura had a really nice game in 17 minutes. He had 14 points. He was really good off the bench. Got some good minutes from Thomas Bryant, you know, who's just getting his feet wet, getting back in there. You know, Kispert. I mean, their second unit was really good, and Harrell's part of that, and then he, of course, blended in with the first unit as they finished the game. I'm just trying to figure out, like, where they go from here. You know, obviously they have till the 10th to figure all this stuff out. I mean, Harrell is obviously important to them, but he's also on an expiring contract. And I know a month and a half ago, he's the most popular guy in D.C. among athletes, it felt like. But, I mean, I think there is truth to the noise that he could be one of the, quote, odd men out, you know, here. I mean, he could be the guy they trade in Tommy Shepard trades. And if you watch the postgame, I mean, and again, this was interesting. Everybody on the postgame agree they have to make a trade. They have to move somebody from here. And I assume you're saying then they're just getting picks back, because if you say they have too many players in the rotation, if you're moving a rotation player, you're not bringing in more rotation players, are you? That doesn't seem to make any sense to me. So it seems like you're moving guys for future assets or for cap relief and those kind of things. It doesn't seem like you're going to be bringing in somebody else, but maybe I'll be surprised. Maybe it's a two for a one guy. I don't know what they end up doing. But it does seem like they've got too many bigs suddenly. And, you know, it would probably will happen if you, you know, follow the history of this franchise, Bullets Wizards, is they'll trade one of the guys and then they'll have an injury and then they'll be short of the position. But whoever's there, they got to play better defense early. I mean, remember, it wasn't that long ago that LaMarcus Aldridge was like retired, right? Well, dude came out of the YMCA and lit up the Wizards last night for 27. I still don't think they figured out, you know, how to defend him. 27 for him in 32 minutes, 11 to 15. We already talked about Kyrie, part-time Kyrie cooking with 30 last night. You know, on a night where Harden wasn't very good for Harden standards, you know, 7 to 21 and 18 points. And again, no KD. And they still put up 119 points on you. That's got to drive you a little bonkers if you're Joseph Blair and your lone head coaching gig. In the NBA, you see David Vanderpool make a tip play out of bounds, which is a technical, by the way. So it could have been a big deal, you know. And then you see your team play just an atrocious first half of defense. Second half was good. I mean, they played, you know, cut the Nets down to 45 points, you know, after they shot 63% in the first half. There was really one way to go. You would have thunk, unless they had absolutely zero pride. I did see some good things from the second unit. But like I said, they're still... I mean, game for the Wizards, game 45 out of 82. Still kind of like, all right, what's the rotation going to look like? Still feels like they're trying to figure stuff out here this late in the season now that they have everybody back. And you kind of figured that was going to be the curse of getting everybody back, you know, is you were going to have this almost, you know, it's a good problem, I guess, but it's also, you know, can be... a thing that holds a team back if you don't have the right rotation as you're trying to move forward here in the Eastern Conference. And right now, you know, they're in that space that's not fun, which is the, oh my God, you know, you're going to be in this stupid play-in game again. I mean, that's the space you're in right now. I mean, you went from, you know, the over joyous thoughts and unrealistic thoughts that this team could be a, you know, a top 3-4 team in the beginning of the year when they get off to that outrageous start, to now you're like, oh crap, now they've settled into that 7-10 area. You know, really they're at 8 right now, and they're a couple games back of Charlotte at this point, because the Hornets have actually played really well lately. They've won 7-10. Somehow, some way, you know, the Cavaliers are still up in that spot. They had won, I think it was like 6 in a row prior to last night's loss to the Bulls. I mean, I don't know how the hell they're doing it. They just keep losing people and keep winning. They were trying to have their longest win streak since LeBron, you know, left the second time. They were trying to win six in a row, but they lost to Chicago last night. But they're still up there. There's still a lot of ball to be played, but that's why this next few weeks are very important for the Wizards once they figure out what they're going to do. And look, Tommy Shepard's done an amazing job. They got to get out of jail free card with this Westbrook trade. I say it over and over again. I'm not banging on these guys for what they did. I like the process. They still got a ways to go to finish it off. And of course, you know, as it is, because we're near a trade deadline, the LeBron stalker. Brian Windhorst has a story about Bradley Beal and the trade deadline. We'll get into that here in a little bit. And whether or not, you know, I feel like this is like the little boy that cried wolf at this point. We keep talking about the potential for a Bradley Beal trade or whether he wants to be here, doesn't want to be here, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, but Bradley's put out some things lately that I obviously, you know, have added some weight to it. So I can see why it is a story again. But it does almost seem like there's this disbelief outside of Washington this guy would actually want to stay here. You know, there's like this disbelief from anybody who doesn't cover the franchise or follow Bradley Beal or know, you know, his career that, oh, God, there's no way he's going to stay there. I mean, he's definitely going to want to go be a Laker, right, or want to be a Knick or, you know, pick your big market that you're dying to be significant and irrelevant again as an NBA writer because you want to go there during the playoffs and cover the games. Got to go to Miami, you know, wants to be on South Beach, because I do, you know. It is like, that's how the league is covered by some of these sycophants that are, you know, giving press credentials. But anyway, so one of the positives from last night for the Wizards, they actually, the transition defense is pretty good. I mean, look, the half-court defense sucked for a full half, but they held the Nets to zero fast break points last night, which was interesting. In a game, they've actually done that five times this year, which has obviously been a point of emphasis that has actually hit home. And, you know, that's certainly a good thing to see. But again, it was way too casual. The lane was just way too easy in the end. A lot of fouling in that first half too from the Wizards put them in this hole as they go down to the Nets last night by the one-point game. And Kuzma had a good look. Dinwiddie was kind of a scramble. Good job by Trez to punch it out to him, tip it out to him, and got the shot up, but didn't make it. Would have been great for him if he would have knocked that down. On a night where he was, look, I mean, you know, he's sacrificed. There's no question he's had a sacrifice. And Beal, by the way, is the points pretty good. He's a playmaker. Like, that's the underrated part about Bradley at times, is he's actually a really good playmaker. Now, we're going to talk about the money that he could make here over these next few seasons. And the Wizards, look, the Wizards have not tried to telegraph this. They're not trying to, you know, play games here. I mean, they want Bradley Beal here. So we'll get into that coming up with the report about the Wizards and potential trade deals. Also, trouble in Lakerland. That always makes me happy. On the week the Cowboys are eliminated from the playoffs, there's a problem in Lakerland. Duke lost in overtime. I mean, it is, like, awesome. The Yankees, well, they're kind of irrelevant now. But anyway, you get the point. All right, we'll get to that coming up. Scott Jackson in for Kevin Sheehan, who's out helping the weather gods figure out what the roads are going to look like today. And if your kids got out of school, blame Sheehan, and you're going to miss out on your yoga class. Sorry about that. But Kevin's the reason your snotty-nosed kid's going to be at home. We'll get to more on the NBA coming up. Scott Jackson in here.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Are you ready?
All right, welcome back. Sheehan's out today. Scott Jackson sitting in. And Wizards losers last night to the Nets. We discussed that in the first segment, 119 to 118. Again, a layup line in the first half. Too easy to get into the lane. All these things came back and bit him. Ferocious comeback. Nice job. Good effort. Like the fight. Like the nucleus of the team. Obviously need to do some tweaking, need to get these rotations hammered down. Can't play 11 guys a night and expect to have a lot of success in the NBA. But nonetheless, they've got decisions to make between now and the 10th. So what are we looking at, 20 days, 21 days? Yeah, because there's 31 days in January. Is that right? Yeah, okay. So like 21 days out from the trade deadline. So 3 weeks, if my Old Dominion math is correct. Is that seven? Yeah, that's 3 weeks. So Bradley Beal, of course, has been a Wizard from day one. It's been very important for him to be here. He's wanted to be here, number one. He's been a guy who has developed here rather nicely in with a franchise that doesn't always have the best track record of developing players that they sign, whether it's a, you know, or draft, I should say, whether it's a high draft pick or, you know, a guy who, you know, is a second round find or what have you. They haven't had the greatest histories of that here in the last 20 years, but they have with Bradley Beal. He's been one of those guys that's gotten better and gotten better. He's highly respected around the league and highly desired around the league if the Wizards were to move on from him. And it really seemed like a point prior to this offseason where, man, they were going to have to do something, right? Unless they were going to, were they really going to roll out Westbrook and Beal again and expect to get like these crazy great results? Well, we'll never know because thank God the Lakers assistant general manager, LeBron James, said, I want Russell Westbrook. And we should never, ever, ever forget that about LeBron. And I know he gets a lot of crap when he comes to town, you know, the crab dribble, the whisper in Gilbert Arenas' ear, and all the other stuff that he did over the years. I'm not saying it's all forgiven, but we should thank him for that. And maybe, you know, look, they throw out these video tributes all the time now. Why not have one for LeBron next time he's in town? With some Westbrook highlights and then highlights of the core of group of players that they received in that trade. So Brian Windhorst, speaking of LeBron, whose career has been basically covering LeBron, writes for ESPN.com, and this actually has nothing to do with LeBron, which is quite refreshing. It's about Bradley Beal and how the Wizards need to evaluate it as we come towards the, you know, as he points out, the NBA trade deadline is a master's class in risk tolerance. Talks about Beal and, you know, how he's obviously, you know, made it clear he doesn't plan to sign an extension, likely skip his player option. That would, he said, make some teams nervous. But at this point, there's been no real discussion of Beal in the trade market. Yeah, again, Wizards have been very transparent about this. Sometimes I think this transparency teams with things with franchises is not always the smartest play. You don't really have to tell everybody everything you're thinking or knowing. But with this particular situation, I think it has served them well. Ted Leonsis has been straight about it. Tommy Shepard's been straight about it. They communicate with one another. He was part of the decision on the Westbrook trade. He recruited Dinwiddie. They like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope a lot. You know, Beal has become a good friend with his. And of course, look, there's the money part of it. All right, let's, it's always, you know, they say it's not about money, but come on. That is a big part of it, right? He's going to make $60 more million if he sticks it out here, if he wants to. Now, we could talk about the wisdom of a five-year, $241 million contract. However, if that's what they want to do, it's their money. It's Ted's money, not my money. I could get that. I've said this over and over, and I know this may sound stupid and corny to some folks that don't have the history with the franchise that old people like myself do, but this franchise, and if you go in the record books, this will bear itself out. There are very few, hey, Wes Unseld, you know, heart and soul, MVP, rookie of the year, NBA champion kind of franchise players, late Wes Unseld, right? That's why it means so much, and it's great that his son's here coaching. It would be awesome if he could be successful at doing so for a long period of time. But this is like the franchise that always had the, hey, quick fix idea just to stay like in the playoffs. Never like a really big picture, hey, we're going to try to build a championship kind of franchise. And I'm not just talking about like currently and people are like, oh, yeah, Ernie. No, I'm not talking about Ernie. I'm talking about Abe Pollin. I'm talking about Bob Ferry. I'm talking about, you know, John Nash. I'm talking about all those years. You know, hey, let's get Ben R. King. Hey, Moses Malone. You know, all these people, the end of the rope of their careers that have been just thrown in here as like a little paste job, you know, on a house that the foundation is cracking and falling to pieces just to, you know, slide into the playoffs. There was way too much of that going on. You know, look, we'll never know because Gilbert effed it up. Okay, I get it, right? We'll never know what that could have been. It was probably only going to get you so far, but damn, it was fun. Okay. John Wall, injuries just too much. Too much. We'll, you know, never could find out. But there are reasons why there were many of us that were very sensitive to the fact that, damn, Phil Chenier, really? He's not going to be doing the games anymore? You know, because he actually was a Bullet. He's part of championship lore. It's not like the Washington Redskins former players, right, where you have – they're a dime a dozen, right? They're everywhere. Even guys who played on crappy teams are here still, and they're talking about the team, making a living. We don't have that with the Wizards. They got to fly in guys from other cities, the guys that were 10-day contract players. I mean, there isn't, like, this history of people just sticking around, like – building in the community, like with, you know, with businesses Kevin Grevy did, which is awesome. But, you know, he wasn't like a full-time Bullet or anything. I mean, he played other places. So, I mean, you know, and he's worked for the franchises, but that's awesome. You know, like Grevy, you know, Phil wasn't originally a Wizard, but he's here, you know. So, I mean, it's great that all these guys have been here, you know, from the Bullets era, a few of them, but it's still not that many compared to the other franchises. So I think, look, Ted Leonsis isn't stupid. He understands this. He's very smart. He's made a lot of money. He understands what, you know, that would mean to have a guy that played here his entire career. And even if, like, on the last season or two, you had to trade him, so be it. But, like, let's give it a shot and put everything we have into a guy that we actually drafted and, you know, got better here, actually likes it here, says the right things, isn't looking to go to Miami or to, you know, Chicago, whatever, fill in, again, the sexy franchise you think it is. You know, he wants to be part of it. So I get it why they want to make it work for him and with him. So I respect that. And I think Bradley, again, has been honest about it. He's told Yahoo in a recent interview that he's committed to being here twice. Now he wants to see the commitment to him and that we can create a winning team here, a winning environment. And I think they're trying to do that. I think they've done all the right things. You know, getting Thomas Bryant back, getting Hachimori back, though, has provided some issues with this rotation. And that's not necessarily a bad – it's not a terrible thing, but it has, you know, caused some issues, as we discussed in the first segment. You know, somebody threw out there this week that Montrezl Harrell, who, again, was the most popular player in D.C. just a few weeks ago, could be the guy on the move. And I don't know if it has anything to do with him and KCP. I don't think so. I think it's more about – he's on an expiring contract. And can you really expect to keep him? He's going to be a desirable player. Could you get some assets back? Could you, you know, use him and somebody else in a deal and get a, you know, a veteran player that would fit in your rotation to kind of help the numbers out? I don't know. But that's certainly something they've got to look at. And again, despite, again, the disbelief, you probably got Bulls friends or whatever, you know, Laker friends that just don't believe Bradley Beal wants to be here and they're still doing this thing with you. Tell them to get over it. I mean, I think it's over. I mean, they're going to ride this thing out with him. And look, hopefully they don't get stuck in the end holding the bag, so to speak, where they don't have value. But I think at this point, you know, you've gone this deep into it, you're going for broke here, right? You're going to make this work. You're going to try to do everything to make Brad happy and build a team around him. And there's nothing wrong with that. Really nothing wrong with that. Are you going to flip him into somebody better? Or if you flip him, are you kind of hitting a sort of a reset button? Not complete reset button, but taking a step back? Probably so. I mean, you're not going to get the same level player for him. You might get multiple players. You might get picks. Doesn't mean you're going to pick the right people. We've seen that enough times in other places. But it buys you time. But, I mean, they're close to being relevant in that top level sense of the East, but they still have to take some steps. And there's some things they could do, again, just as a basketball team, like, you know, playing some defense for the first half of the game would be a good start. All right, so let's get to a little bit off the Lakers last night. And again, LeBron James, thank you for taking Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook, again, one of the more interesting players in our time in any sport. Extremely talented. Oh, and he's got numbers. We know that. But unfortunately, outside of his, you know, early career, when he had a guy named James Harden and Kevin Durant next to him, he hasn't really been part of championship-level teams. He was a Western Conference champion, but was not an NBA champion, but at least was into the finals. The Lakers, for whatever reason, it took them till game 45 to figure out what a lot of us here in DC knew when they made this trade. Like, that's not going to work. That's not the kind of player that LeBron James needs. He doesn't need a ball-dominant player who has a broken jump shot. And by the way, here's the irony. Last night, Westbrook, 27 minutes, he actually made 4 of 6 beyond the arc, which is not his thing. Anyway, Frank Vogel chose to sit him down late in this game, and it made some shockwaves, and of course, Vogel was asked the question afterwards, as he is supposedly on the very, very hot seat, and he could be out of L.A. very soon, why he had to sit Russ down.
Frank, you opted to go with Russ on the bench at the end of the game. What were you looking for there? What was the thinking behind that choice?
Yeah, playing the guys I thought were going to win the game.
Well, there you go. Didn't think Russell Westbrook is part of it. They lost Indiana, by the way. Indiana, who's 16-29 in the East, mind you. Indiana, who going into the game was 3-17 away from the great state of Indiana. 3-17 on the road. And they go into the friendly confines of Staples Center and beat the Lakers, who fall to 22-23 at home. I mean, look, the Clippers, luckily for the Lakers, are sucking wind right now. Obviously, they've got injuries, though. They've got built-in excuses, right? Russell Westbrook, the former NBA MVP, was on the bench for the final 3:52. And the net, here's the crazy thing, the Pacers in this game, and I'm not telling you I stayed up for it. I watched the highlights this morning. Doing this thing, man, you can't do that. But anyway, the Pacers trailed for pretty much the first three quarters before jumping out with a 10-0 run in the fourth and obviously go on to win the game by, you know, 7 points. But there have been, you know, a lot of noise about Frank Vogel's job security, and now he's got to bench Russell Westbrook. And supposedly, from all the, you know, Laker reporters that cover this team, he had the blessing of the organization. He had the green light to go ahead and be allowed to do what he thought was right. Now, here's the problem. You know what's going to happen here. It's not going to improve the team because they're flawed, right? They're a flawed group. And it's not going to improve the team. They're still going to fire Frank Vogel. You know, people joke around about this all the time, but maybe LeBron could trade himself to Cleveland. Back to Cleveland. Because obviously, you know, they're in a much better place and better space right now than the Lakers are. I mean, and again, I warned people when he went to Los Angeles, and I said, look, he's a great player. He's one of the greatest players ever. I mean, I don't think there's any problem. I have no problem saying that. I'm never gonna tell you he's better than Michael Jordan. But no problem saying he's one of the greatest of all time. But people, I think, underestimate, like, what the temperature or what how that organization works and the fan base works. Just because it's LA and it's glam, it's not laid back, man. It is like every year you got to be trying to win a championship or there's something wrong with you. I mean, and he was never going to be an all-time Laker. Like, this idea that he was going to be an all-time Laker always made me laugh. It's like, he's an all-time player. Is he ever going to be an all-time Laker as in terms of like what his resume is with Los Angeles? Highly unlikely. I mean, you got to put up multiples and consecutive to even be in the conversation. And obviously, you know, Father Time, somebody once very brightly said, is undefeated. And it is. I mean, LeBron's still playing at a high level, but that team's flawed. I mean, they got a lot of things to do. And, you know, it's interesting. Like, the league just moves on. I mean, there's, you know, again, you know, Giannis winning a championship in Milwaukee is significant last year because it, you know, again, shows superstar can stick in a spot, doesn't have to be, again, and doesn't have to be in the big city and all this stuff. And I know, again, it's important to a lot of folks that do this for a living, that cover the league, that the Knicks are important and they've got to be important, but they really don't need to be. I mean, like, it doesn't matter. I mean, league's been fine without them. I mean, they haven't been relevant forever in terms of championship caliber. And the game moves on. You know, Phoenix Suns is doing their thing out in the West. Golden State's back. I mean, everybody's fine. I mean, the league just moves on. They don't, you know, would it do better if you had the Lakers? Sure, okay. You can talk me into it. It's not going to make or break my life, and it's not going to make or break the league either. At some point, you'd like it to be. You can't just force this thing. And none of these other GMs have got the appetite to, oh, yeah, let's help the Lakers out, you know, without getting stuff a significant return that's going to help them. And good for them. Good for them. Yeah, Frank Vogel. I mean, this is just one of those moves you make. And they say, yeah, Frank, whatever you think is best. And then they come and they fire you in a week or so or 2 weeks or whatever it'll end up being. And say, well, you shouldn't have screwed with Russ. That really made him unhappy. And then, you know, LeBron's not really pleased about that either. By the way, the Cavaliers lost last night, but I saw this number the other day. So they were 26.5 coming into the season. And we are taking a moment to do a little gambling talk because you have to on sports radio now. And they have already surpassed their number already. We're not even, you know, at the All-Star break. Pretty damn impressive what the Cavaliers are doing so far this season. And again, they've injury, and they just keep rolling. Did lose last night, but again, the Bulls beat them. So not all bad. All right, coming up, we'll get to some football. Wow. I want to say the Mike McCarthy stuff for a little bit later. Let's get to some Eagles stuff coming up. I'll get to the McCarthy stuff at the top of the hour. Let's get to the Eagles coming up. Made a pretty strong statement yesterday about their quarterback, Jalen Hurts. Later on in the show, Scott Abraham, he spent about 18 minutes with Ron Rivera on the Zoom the other day on ABC 7 WJLA. You can check it out on the line. The full interview is up there. And talked about a lot of things, including Ron Rivera skipping the Senior Bowl, so we'll get to that in the 7 o'clock hour as well. We'll get to Scott in the 8 o'clock hour on the entirety of that interview. It's Kevin Sheehan Show, minus Kevin today. Scott Jackson with you here on the Team 980 and the
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Kevin Sheehan, Sheehan minus Kevin. I'll be back with you tomorrow. You know, look, he's a meteorologist. sports guru. So today, helping out the local municipalities with their weather forecasting is, yeah, you know, it's rained so far. I mean, it's a big dud. If you're looking there and you're like, God, I'm stuck with my kids today. What the hell happened? Allegedly, Brendan Darr, our producer, tells me that it is going to turn to snow. So I'm counting on it, Brendan. I'm counting on going skiing after the show today. So hopefully that'll work out. All right. So you're stuck with me, Scott Jackson, till 9 today. We'll get to more Wizards in the 8 o'clock hour. Chase Hughes, NBC Sports Washington. We'll talk about last night's crazy game, crazy loss to the Nets, and also the trade deadline. And I get it, we're 21 days away, but hey, it's never too early to talk fantasy basketball right here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. All right, let's get to some NFL stuff. All right, yesterday, the Eagles had their end-of-year press conference. General manager Howie Roseman, off the top, trying to put to bed any questions about what the Eagles may do at the quarterback position.
The growth he had, really first-year starter, second-year player, leading this team to the playoffs, tremendously impressed by his work ethic, his leadership. We talked, the last time we talked was during camp, and we said we wanted to see him take the bull by the horn, and he certainly did that.
Is it bull by the horn or is it by the horns, by the way? I kind of feel like it's by the horns. But again, he's in Philly. He doesn't live like in a, you know, in a rural area, so I get it. He wouldn't know. But, you know, a lot of the fan bases in South Jersey, and they do have bulls. I know this because of my in-laws. And they have friends that have actually bulls on a farm. So, and I believe they have multiple horns. So I think it's bull by the horns. But anyway, so Harry Roseman, despite, you know, look, Jalen Hurts had a rough game. He did not play well against the Buccaneers. No shame in that. He's still a quarterback that is developing. He has shown he has, again, work ethic. He's got, obviously, physical talent. He's got smarts. He's a leader, which is not always natural for quarterbacks, although we all assume they should be leaders. Not all of them are. There's a lot of them are pretending that aren't good at it. Guys that are jerks. So their last quarterback, for example. The guy they sent to Indy, for example, Carson Wentz. But the Eagles, and it's a fair question, they own the 15th, the 16th, and the 19th pick in the first round. So they could use that. They could try to move up if they wanted to take a rookie quarterback. They could use that to entice a team, I don't know, like the Houston Texans, for example, to send Deshaun Watson to them and hope to God he's not in jail. Not in jail, is he? And that he's available, you know, more than half the season next year. So they could do a lot of things. But from the sounds of it, and I'll take the Eagles at their word on it. Now, granted, you know, they also said a few years ago that Carson Wentz was their guy, and then they drafted Jalen Hurts, and, you know, the rest is history. So maybe we shouldn't take their word for it, but I do think they're going to move forward with Hurts. Nick Sirianni, look, this was a bonus season for the Eagles. Like, this was found money in a lot of ways. They were not expected to do anything. They were picked to be last and terrible. They exceeded expectations. Now's the tough year. They're going to find out, like Washington, like, now it gets tough because you're going to have a better schedule than you should, than your record really indicated. Now you're going to, you know, be expected to just be back in the playoffs next year. And it's not always that simple because everybody else is going to get better. You would assume the Giants will actually get a real general manager and not a clown like they had before, you know, and try to get their act together. They're going to get a real coach, not some guy who's in delusionalville. You're going to assume that Dallas, you know, will get off being stupid. anyway, so there's a lot of assumptions that are going on still there as well. And here was Nick Sirianni. And again, remember Nick Sirianni, a lot of yous, and I'm doing it as yous, like, you know, from Jersey, were ripping this guy because his first press conference wasn't good, right? He stumbled, he was awkward. I mean, he wasn't Dan Campbell weird, but he wasn't very good. And people are like, oh, immediately this guy can't coach, he sucks because he was bad at the press conference and we're mad because our guy didn't get the job. But, you know, Nick Sirianni, give him credit, year one, you know, again, 9-8. Well, it's really 9-9 in the end. A lot better than many of you would have expected. And here's a little Nick Sirianni on Jalen Hurts and moving forward.
How do you know where you stand with a coaching staff? Because you communicate and you talk over and over and over and over again. And so Jalen knows where he stands with us. I thought he did a great job of getting better throughout the year, as we've talked about. There's no secrets there. He knows he's our guy.
They got a lot of weapons, you know, for him as well. I mean, Devontae Smith was a good pick. They've got people on the outside. Got a really good tight end. They got a stable running backs. You know, they got to improve their defense. They got to, you know, they got some age to be concerned with, some cap issues to look into. But I think overall, they're in a good spot. I really do. 3-5 at home this year, which is kind of shocking for the Eagles. And you're like, you can play the game. Hey, they didn't beat anybody. Sound familiar? Washington fans, you heard that last year. But I mean, that's fine. I mean, I get it. I mean, you know, they beat this team twice. They beat the Broncos. They beat the Saints. So they did beat the Saints. This team did not. You know. Beat the Giants once, lost to the Giants. They got whacked by the Cowboys twice. I mean, they weren't even close. Dallas scored 92 points on them this year. Now, I get it. 51 came against, you know, the reserves. Well, Dallas, you know, they were worried about getting in a, quote, rhythm for the playoffs and getting incentives hit for some players. That's great. Stat padding in week 18 didn't get you very far in the end result. So, that was a little bit of some of the Eagles stuff yesterday. And I think it's smart. I think there's always going to be speculation of upheaval in Philadelphia because that's just the nature of the fan base. You know, it's almost become a cartoon character of itself in that regard. But I think they're making the smart, prudent move by sticking with Hurts. And here's the other thing about sticking with Hurts as opposed to like throwing money at a veteran, a guy with a big contract, it's the cap benefit, right? I mean, again, if you have a guy on a rookie quarterback contract, there's more you could do. The Seahawks found out as well. They know this. So they could attest to it. You can see some of the deterioration in Seattle. In part, bad drafting, bad free agent moves, you know, maybe over-the-top trades. There's a lot of things that have hurt Seattle. But you can't tell me that they weren't in a better place when Russell Westbrook was making, you know, money on the rookie contract, which wasn't even a first-round rookie contract. That's the same thing they got with Hurts in Philly. It got this moment, these couple seasons, where he's on, you know, again, a contract, not a first-round rookie, but a guy who was taken on day two, and that helps. And they can do a lot of things. You can handle a lot of things. You get those contracts knocked out now that obviously adds, you know, I don't know if you use all three picks this year. Maybe you move up, maybe you move back, maybe you parlay one of those into something for future picks. I don't know if you necessarily want to have three number one guys this year, but if you do, obviously, you know, it's not a bad place to be in either. All right, we'll get to the Cowboys stuff coming up in the next hour. Every time I think this is over or the waters have calmed on the Jim Harbaugh back to the NFL story, something pops up. The Athletic has two different stories, and this is a problem when you have a very large company and different people in different markets writing about the teams. Bruce Feldman of the Athletic reports that multiple sources inside Michigan football believe Harbaugh, if offered the Raiders job, he'd take it. In contrast, Vic DeFore of The Athletic, who is the Raiders guy in Vegas, suggests the Raiders aren't even interested in Harbaugh. So there's that part of it. Man, I don't know if those are contrasting reports because, yes, Harbaugh may want the job if offered, but it doesn't mean they want him. Now, what is it going on with Rich Bisacci? I mean, they fired, and people are like, oh my God, they fired Mike Mayock. But Mike Mayock was hired by John Gruden, essentially. And that's not shocking to me that they would move on from him. You know, Rich Bisacci did a nice job in some terrible circumstances with the Raiders this year. He wrote handwritten letters to the players, which is a nice touch. And like, he wasn't forced to do it. It wasn't like Mark Davis said, you write handwritten notes to all these players before you come down for dinner. I mean, it wasn't like something you make your kid do. Hey, write grandma a thank you note. That was a really kind gift. Get on that. You got to send that one to your aunt as well. I mean, it wasn't like one of those things. He's like literally in his hotel room just writing little thank you notes to all the players to give to them on the team. That's a lot of players, especially to work in the practice squad guys and the guys that are showing up. Does he write them to the injured reserve guys? I don't know. But anyway, I thought that was a nice touch. A little old school, I know. A little old school, but that's okay. It's okay. I think my hand would fall off, though. That's a lot of players. It's not like an NBA team. I mean, it's not like, who was the guy, Bob Petrino, when he quit in the middle of the night from the Falcons, he wrote one letter and Xeroxed them, right? And then just put them all on each player's, you know, chair as he rolled out of town. So it's not quite the same thing, right? This guy actually went to the trouble of writing individual handwritten notes to everybody. So good for him. So we'll see what happens there. Still a lot of noise there. Still a lot of, you know, the most shocking thing about all these NFL coaching jobs being open and some that we think should open is nobody's been hired to this point. I mean, the Jags obviously routing this you know, search very early with the Urban Meyer debacle. They have yet to make a move. The only thing you've heard about the Jags is that, you know, Bill O'Brien's not going to get the gig, who already interviewed. Of course, you know, do you blame him? I mean, you know, the old Bill Belichick coaching tree, I mean, those limbs have been snapping for years. You know, those limbs haven't held up very good. And you can't count Mike Vrabel. He played for him. He didn't coach under him. Stop counting him. It's like all the people want to make a Sean McVay tree, right? Like, oh, we got to have a Sean McVay tree. So we're gonna put Matt LaFleur there, although he worked there 1 year and didn't call plays, then went to the Titans and actually called plays and got his gig. I mean, isn't that a Vrabel coaching tree branch? I mean, it's really, you know, part of Shanahan, of course. Yeah, of course. But it's kind of funny that gets thrown out there. I mean, I'll give McVay Zach Taylor, little Zach Taylor. We'll give him that for sure. But like if Raheem Morris gets a gig, are they going to try to, you know, give that to Sean, even though that Raheem was a head coach before and bounced around the league a little bit, you know, worked a lot of places? I don't know. He's an interesting guy, though. He's got a chance. People loved Raheem Morris when he was here. It's just that everybody, you know, couldn't get past the fact that he was the guy who was just too young as a head coach, not his fault, you know, and kind of flamed out there in Tampa. You know, that by the way, Bruce Allen, right? Bruce Allen stuck him in there as the head coach. I mean, he did have a 10-6 season. There's a lot of guys that would like to have a 10-win season as head coaches. He did that, you know, 3 years, 3-13, 10-6, and back to 4-12, but
who could have seen a Bruce Allen decision backfiring?
Now, granted, in fairness to Raheem, at the time, you know, he was really young. This is prior to, like, little kid coaches getting jobs, right? This is prior to, hey, did you go to Sean McVay's 12th birthday party? You're a head coach. I mean, it was prior to that era of the NFL. So, you know, I can understand.
Yeah, he was 33 why might not have worked. When he was hired.
Yeah, he was 33. Yeah, I mean, he was early. I was going to say he was like early 30s. I was going to guess 31. But yeah, 33 is really young. And look, he's had a lot. And here's the cool thing about Raheem Morris. He's coached on both sides of the ball, right? Besides, you know, he came in as a defensive guy. That's his background. But he has coached in Atlanta. And he was obviously assistant head coach at one point. He was the passing game coordinator for 4 years. In addition to being the receivers coach, then he went back to being a defensive coordinator his last year there. That obviously now has done a nice job with this Rams defense. Now, granted, look, it's helpful to have Aaron Donald, okay, and Jalen Ramsey on the back end, and now you throw Von Miller in there. No question that is helpful, but, you know, Raheem's done a good job. And again, players have always, you've never heard players go, I don't really like this guy. You know, players have always responded to him, even when he was here as just a, you know, position coach in Washington. So I'm not surprised. Now he's finally getting some love because he's on a successful staff. So that's good to see. I mean, I'd much rather have a guy that's actually still playing in the playoffs as the guy I'm trying to sell to my fan base versus the guy who Troy Aikman's calling a boob trying to sell to my fan base, as would be the case if you're trying to bring Kellen Moore in as your head coach. All right, we'll get to that coming up. Some good stuff from Troy Aikman, the former Cowboy Hall of Fame quarterback, in regards to his former franchise. Apparently he got over the whole, I'm not getting to call this game, thing that he had going on Sunday to, wow, this is really stupid. All right, we'll get to that coming. Oh, by the way, Conrad points out to me, I said Staples Center early. Again, I told you I'm old school and I'm old. It's the Crypto.com Arena now. That's right, Crypto.com Arena. See, I don't have my money there. I mean, Sheehan would have known that because he's got a lot of money invested in that kind of stuff. I don't. I have not diversified because I have these things called kids that suck away all of my money. All right, coming up, we'll get to the day that was Mike McCarthy taking the podium in Dallas, and also what Troy Aikman had to say about the offensive game plan from the red-hot coaching candidate, Kellen Moore, in the loss to the 49ers. We continue here. Plus, Ron Rivera making a decision to skip something in the offseason. We'll get to that straight ahead. It's the Team 980. Scott Jackson in here on the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the Odyssey app.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.